I think I'm playing it. Maybe I don't know what I'm doing here. Okay, here it comes. Oh, this is the one I played this morning, so you heard this before. So here it is again. I'll be back in just a moment. Enjoy Kirtana.
Is it in the sunlit meadow? Is it in the rocks and trees? Is it in the blue and yellow? Is it in the one who sees? This radiance I recognize, even when I close my eyes. Is it in the words you've spoken, as trackless in their flight as birds? Is it in the silence broken? Is it in between the words? This living truth you make so clear, the speaking stops, but still I hear. And I cannot see how I missed this before. I am is always here, of this I'm sure. Is it in the circumstances? Is it in a quiet mind? Does it only come in glimpses? Is it an event in time? This peace that permeates my mind, my moods, these changing states. Is it in your form that I hold so dear, or older than your ocean eyes? When you walk away, does it disappear? Could it be so localized? This love, which no one claims. You come, you go, but it remains. And I cannot see how I missed this before. The love we are is always here, of this I'm sure.
I think this is the Ramana song. Called Always Hear a Deeper Surrender.
Is it in the sunlit meadow? Is it in the rocks and trees? Is it in the blue and yellow? Is it in the one who sees?
Always Hear a Deeper Surrender by Kirtana. All right, well, welcome everyone. I'm ready to go for another hour. And this particular hour is our first Awakening Together member meeting. So welcome everyone. And, you know, the primary purpose of the member meeting is to keep everyone informed about what's going on with Awakening Together that you might not be aware of. You know, we have a member board who Everybody on that member board is working all of the time to, you could say, build Awakening Together. It's still being built. And then, of course, there's a board of directors who oversees us and approves what we do. And there's lots of activity going on that you might not even be aware of. So what I want to start doing each month, the first Sunday of each month, is just coming and presenting to you what's happening so that you're aware. It also gives you the opportunity to ask questions or to make comments if you choose to. And then if we don't fill the hour up with the member meeting, which tonight we might, I have quite a bit to present. But if we don't fill up the hour with the member meeting, then after that, one thing that people have asked me is if I would make myself available just to answer questions sometimes. Oh, Ramana's song is Falling Awake. Okay, I'll play that later then. I have that as well from the Falling Awake album. I will play that. Thank you, Annie. People want to have the opportunity just to ask me questions because it seems like whenever I'm here, I am always kind of presenting something. I'm presenting from the teachings of Inner Ramana, or I'm, you know, doing the prayer circle or something, but I don't ever seem to just show up and be available for people to ask questions. And at least some people have said they would like to do that, have me just be available. So after a member meeting for the remainder of the hour, when there is time, that's what I'll do. I'll just be here for anybody who has questions. And if you don't have questions, I'll play songs or something. We'll do something. But as I mentioned, since this is the first member meeting, I actually have quite a bit of information, so we'll see if it takes up the whole hour. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. The first thing I want to let you know about, it's a little bit boring, I think, but it's a little bit necessary. Awakening Together, as you know, is a legal 501c3 organization. We get our 501c3 from Foundation for the Holy Spirit. But Foundation for the Holy Spirit was really centered around Regina. In fact, Foundation for the Holy Spirit's website has changed now because its purpose has changed. But if you had looked at the website before, there would have been something on there that said that it was based on the teachings of Regina Donakers. And primarily it was set up for a legal house for NTI. But of course, Awakening Together is not the same. And so what's happening is the Foundation for the Holy Spirit legal documents, the bylaws, the articles of incorporation, those all now are changing in order to suit the purposes of Awakening Together. Also, we adopted a constitution, which is something that is traditional for churches to do. And as you know, we're going to be applying for church status. So our constitution was approved at the board meeting that we had here in Colorado a couple of weeks ago, and it is now posted on our website if you'd like to read the Awakening Together Constitution. It's not overly exciting. It's just a legal document. It does have the purpose, the mission, the purpose, and the core values in it. It also has the member covenant, which if you're a member, you've already seen and agreed to within your heart. It talks about the governance, it talks about the board of directors and the member board of trustees and the difference in their responsibilities. It talks about how we can edit the Constitution, what we have to go through, edit the bylaws, edit policies and procedures. You know, so it's just a legal document. But anyone who really wants to see how, at a high level, Awakening Together is going to be managed, that Constitution is one of our leading documents. Only the Articles of Incorporation are above it. And most of the Articles of Incorporation are actually written by the state of North Carolina. We adapt to them. There are a couple we get to write ourselves, but most of them are written by the state of North Carolina, which is where we are incorporated. So the Constitution is the highest legal document that we get to write ourselves. So if you want to go and look at that, Lynn has provided a link if you happen to be listening on the radio or the recording and you want to look at it. You just go to awakening-together.org, about us, that's the menu, and then you'll see the Constitution on that menu. We're currently working on our new bylaws. Until our new bylaws are formed, we're still legally held accountable to the Foundation for the Holy Spirit bylaws. But we are currently working on our new bylaws and hope to have them done very soon. And then, of course, we'll need to update our articles of incorporation with the state of North Carolina. So those are our primary legal documents. We're also creating a secondary set of governing documents, and those are our policies and procedures. Now, there's going to be quite a few policies and procedures before we're done. And as I shared with Deb the other day, Awakening Together is not going to be run by a personality, by the whims of one person and what one person thinks should be. What happens when we adopt a policy and procedure is the entire member board discusses it, and sometimes discusses it and discusses it and discusses it. But as it says in our Constitution, what we trust is that the end result of that discussion is what was meant to be. In the Constitution, we call it God's will. So the member board as a whole agrees to what's in a policy and procedure, and then approves the policy and procedure. But then the policy procedure is sent to the board of directors, and only if they agree to it also does it become a policy and procedure. If not, then there's more discussion until it's agreed to and becomes a policy and procedure. So by the time a policy and procedure is in place, a number of people have agreed to it in the heart, and it's felt right for everyone. So again, it's not one personality, and that's a part of how we're set up to be run by groups and policies instead of an individual. As you know, the first policy and procedure that was approved at our Canyon City meeting was the online gathering room policy. And I've been spending the last 2 weeks communicating that policy because I wanted to communicate it fully before it goes into effect. And it goes into effect tomorrow, October 7th. One of the things that we need in order for this policy to really work well is we do need people to be admins. And I'm sure you've heard the call for admins, but we need people who are willing to be trained in the policy and then admin the room according to the policy. And from what I've heard, we're about 50% staffed. So we have lots and lots of opening for admins. You can be an admin for a 2-hour slot or a 4-hour slot. Or if you're someone who's really available and you want to admin 2 or 3 times a week for 4-hour slots, you know, you can do that as well. And Lynn has just shared the link to the admin calendar, which shows where the openings are. In order to be an admin, you do need to be a member. Either that or you need to have been a consistent admin for the last 2 years here already. But for all new admins, need to be a member. But you can see the admin calendar with the link that Lynn has given, or you can go to the Awakening Together website, click on Interact, and then you'll see on that menu where it says About Our Gathering Room. And if you click on that, there's lots of options, one of which is the admin calendar. And you can see the admin calendar, see where we have open slots, and see if any of them it needs to fit your schedule consistently. It needs to be something you can consistently commit to. Of course, everybody takes a vacation or gets sick, so we understand it's not 100%, but it needs to be consistent. And what I'd like to do now, if you guys will just put up with me one more time, I want to go ahead and go over the etiquette one more time, because I promised you I would communicate it at least 3 times before it goes into effect. So I'm going to share the etiquette with you one more time, and then tomorrow morning when we wake up, this is now the etiquette of the room, and all admins will be admining according to this spirit and intent. So I'm just going to read to you from the etiquette policy page on our website. The online gathering room is a sanctuary, a place to share and teach, to associate, extend love, inspire, and be inspired. Our online gathering room is like a temple, mosque, synagogue, church, or ashram to us. We invite everyone to participate in our online gathering room with reverence, respect, and discernment. Awakening Together has developed etiquette for participation in the online gathering room to promote the spirit of our intention. Adherence to the etiquette encourages people to share openly in a safe environment and must be maintained at all times. The online gathering room etiquette is: listen to the current speaker with respect. Respect does not necessarily mean agreement, since everyone is asked to use discernment that comes from one's own heart. However, honor the speaker's freedom to share as he or she feels to share. If the speaker invites participation, raise your hand. When the speaker turns the microphone over to you, share openly, with consideration and respect, in accordance with Awakening Together's core values. When typing on the message board or speaking, direct your comments to the current speaker and be sure your comments are related to the topic currently being discussed by the speaker. When typing or speaking, never indicate that someone else is wrong. You may share your experience and understanding, but your sharing should never negate the sharing of another. And so as an example, you might say, well, here's how I experienced it, or here's how I understood it. But none of this, you know, you're wrong. You're an idiot. You know, none of that. When typing or speaking, use language fitting a G-rated online room. And even I'm going to have to get in that habit, because I noticed that it's funny, I don't swear much in my everyday life, but I swear when I'm teaching. I'm not sure what that's about. I guess emphasis. But I'm going to have to find another way to emphasize, because we're not going to do that. I'm going to try my best to set the example. And if not, I'm sure an admin will remind me. Do not use the room's message board to have unrelated discussion with other room participants. Gossip is never permitted in the room under any circumstances. When sending a private message to someone, be respectful by asking if it is a good time for a private message. They may want to listen without being disturbed. And that's it. That's the etiquette. So that's really all I have to say on that policy. I feel like it's been well communicated now. So tomorrow the policy goes into effect. And let's see. Can you be the admin while you are presenting? Well, we hadn't discussed that, but it's not in the policy, so I don't know an answer. I personally, well, I guess sometimes that happens, actually, because sometimes what happens is, you know, during your admin shift, someone doesn't show up, and you might fill the slot by presenting. So I guess the answer is yes, as long as you feel you can admin and present at the same time. Like I said, it may just happen. Right? Lynn says she does it. So I guess even though it's not in the policy, the answer to that is yes. I'm sure you guys will come up with questions that we didn't think of, and so they're not in the policy. It's hard even with an active team to think of everything. Yes, the answer is yes then. Any other questions about the online gathering policy before I move on to other policies? Because I feel like we've really talked that up now, and it's well communicated, and I'm ready to move on, unless you have a strong question. Okay, good. Then we'll just move on. I think we're all ready to move on. We don't want to spend the rest of our life talking about the online gathering room policy, do we? All right. So as I mentioned, Awakening Together will have a number of policies. And right now we're working on some of the first policies that we feel that we need. Tomorrow, hopefully, we're going to vote at the member board level on 3 policies. And if they're approved, move them on to the board of directors. One of those policies is our member policy and procedure. And what the member policy and procedure does is it talks about how you become a member. And really, as most of you already know, you become a member if you agree in your heart to the member covenant, which is really the Awakening Together purpose and core values. And then it outlines the member benefits, which we also have on our website. So you can read the member benefits there. Yeah, they're called member privileges on our website. And some of the benefits are things like, you know, you can admin in the room. You can submit articles to be posted on the Awakening Together blog. In fact, I would love to see members submitting articles for the Awakening Together blog. There are some submission guidelines you need to be aware of, however. And I think Lynn will share that link as well. But if you want to see what the submission guidelines are, you can go to the Awakening Together website, the Inspiration menu, and you'll see the Awakening Together blog there. If you just click on the Awakening Together blog, there's a link there that tells you, you know, that if you're a member, you can submit articles and what those guidelines are, the submission guidelines. Some of the other benefits that we have, we're going to have elections, starting next summer. We'll have elections each summer to elect people to the member board of trustees. Terms are 3 years. And the first member board of trustees were actually selected based on skills they had, skills that were needed in order to, build Awakening Together. But starting next July, we'll open it up and you all will be able to nominate and elect the trustees. And so that's something that a member can do that a non-member cannot do. Another privilege is, of course, members can make suggestions that directly affect the organization, where non-members cannot make suggestions about how the organization should or should not be. So there's a number of privileges, and again, you can use that link, that member privilege is linked, to read what they are. They're outlined also in our policy that we're hopefully approving tomorrow. And for those of you who are listening on the radio, if you want to see the list of member privileges, you just go to the Awakening Together website, the Join Us menu, and you'll find the member privileges there. It also looks like the article submission guidelines might be on that Join Us menu too, by looking at the link. Another policy that we're voting on tomorrow is our worship services policy. This is a policy we're already living by. It's the policy that talks about our Awakening Together gathering. It lays out the consistent format for the gathering. The IRS, when you apply for church status, actually expects you to have a service, a worship service. We call ours a gathering. We can call it whatever we want. But they do expect you to have a consistent format. And in fact, if any of you have ever gone to church, I'm sure you know that any church, whether it's a Baptist church or a Catholic church or a non-denominational church or an interfaith church, they have a certain format they follow during their service. That is something that the IRS looks for. So our worship services policy outlines that format. It also says that the gathering must be led by an ordained minister. Unless one is not available, then it can be led by a licensed minister. And I'll talk in just a moment about what a licensed minister is. So we have in our worship services policy that as we get enough ministers, right now there's only three of us, but as we get enough ministers, we want to open up another weekly gathering time, which is Saturday evening, probably around 5 p.m. in the U.S. and the East Coast, maybe a little later, maybe 6. But the reason for wanting to open it up at that time is so that people in the Pacific area, in Hawaii and in Australia and New Zealand, will have a gathering that suits their schedule. The gathering that we have now really doesn't suit their schedule at all. It's right in the middle of the night. So we do want to open up another gathering when we get enough ministers, but that will take a little bit of time. Also, what's in our worship services policy is that any two ordained ministers can get together and propose another gathering. So ministers can get together once you're ordained and say, you know, we would like to have a gathering in this time frame and start more. So there's room for growth there as we get more and more ministers. It won't be just the Sunday morning gathering anymore. Another policy that hopefully we're voting on tomorrow is the minister ordination and licensing policy. And this policy, you know, lays out how we go about ordaining ministers. It also defines the difference between an ordained minister and a licensed minister. Basically, an ordained minister is a fully legal minister in the United States of America. I don't know anything about laws in other parts of the world, but in the United States of America, all 50 states. So an ordained minister is a minister in the eyes of the law. That's really what an ordained minister is. And what that means is you can do things like marry people, right? You have to be ordained to marry people in most states. Some states you have to be ordained to officiate a funeral. Not all states, but some you do. So in order to be ordained, we have a curriculum that I am currently writing. And it's going to be about 18 months long. And it will consist of two phases. Let me finish my sentence, Christian, then I'll come back and answer your question, because that's an excellent question. It will consist of two phases. The first phase is about 12 weeks long. It's a course called True Discernment. The member board of trustees and the board of directors are going through that course right now in order to kind of test it out and make sure that it's a good course. And then the second phase is much longer. It fills up the remaining 18 months, and it's several different, going into several different curriculums, you could say. Like, we're going to look at the Bhagavad Gita, we're going to look at the Tao Te Ching, we're going to look at Kabbalism, we're going to look at Sufism, we're going to look at Nisargadatta Maharaj, we're going to look at Ramana Maharshi, we're going to look at lots of different theologies. But what we're really going to do as we look at these different theologies is we're going to keep seeing the sameness in them, how it's worded differently, taught differently, but it's the same. And so after completing that 18 months and after passing a couple of tests, one at the end of phase one, one at the end of phase two, and after going to an ordination ceremony and taking the oath of an ordained minister, then one becomes an ordained minister. And then as an ordained minister, you can lead gatherings. You can be added to our gathering rotation. You can, as I mentioned, get with another ordained minister and start another gathering time. You can marry people. You can coach and counsel. In Awakening Together, we're calling coaching and counseling a sacrament. And actually, some states do that as well. Some states, people can't just coach and counsel each other. It's not legal. And in fact, you can be sued if you do it by the person you coach or counseled. Only ordained ministers and licensed therapists can legally counsel or coach in many places. So as an ordained minister, you'll be able to do that legally. So there are lots of benefits to being an ordained minister. Plus, as an ordained minister, you will join our Association of Ministers. And you will work as a volunteer in some way in service with Awakening Together. And there are probably all kinds of ideas about how that can be done that I haven't even thought about yet. But all ministers will, in one way or another, serve the organization. Because the definition of an ordained minister for us is a servant of the oneself through Awakening Together. Our ministers are not perceived as higher than others, such as you will find in some religions, you know, where the priest maybe has more theological knowledge than the congregation. That's not true, because we're assembly of equals, but the ministers are the ones who have chosen to be the servant of all, the servant of the one true self through Awakening Together. So all of our ministers will serve in one way or another. Let me see. I saw Christian's question. She says, if one is already an ordained minister, can they contribute in Awakening Together, or do they have to be ordained by Awakening Together? Well, all members can contribute in different ways. So the answer to that is yes, they can contribute. But as far as contributing as an ordained minister, like leading a gathering, you would have to be an ordained Awakening Together minister. And that is also standard. That's not only true with us. If you were to, for example, want to be a Baptist minister all of a sudden, or a Christian Science minister, or anything else, they would also put you through their entire program. If you're ordained with Pathways of Light and you want to be a CMC minister, you have to go through the CMC program. And that's because each church's ordination program is different. And so the fact that you are ordained with one church does not really mean that you have the knowledge or the discernment or the teaching that comes with another church's ordination program. So everyone, regardless of whether you're ordained or not, if you want to be an ordained Awakening Together minister, you will have to become ordained with us as well. So do we have options for association? Christian, I'm going to let you take the mic and just ask that question in another way to make sure I really understand it. So here's the mic.
Hi, Regina. No, I was just asking. I was ordained by All-Faith Seminary in 2004, so I went through a two-year program. Now, as an interfaith minister, and I'm licensed in the city in the state of New York, but my question, I guess, has to do with, do you have an option for reassociation? Because I'm an interfaith minister through an interfaith program. So there are some churches that have options for reassociations from other ministers so that you can actually go from one association to another association. I'll relinquish the mic now.
Yeah, not at this time we don't. That's something that we can look at, but I wouldn't look at that yet until we have finished writing our entire curriculum, because we would want to look at it with our curriculum in mind. And if so, we want to figure out which parts of this curriculum should even somebody transferring their ordination over association, which part of the curriculums do we still want them to take? So I would say that's a question I don't feel prepared to answer yet. I know for sure I would want anyone to take the True Discernment course, no matter where they were ordained. And there may be other parts of the curriculum as well. So for now, I'm going to say right now we don't have that. It doesn't mean it might not happen in the future, but maybe it's just a little too early for us to know that. But thanks for asking the question. We'll keep that in mind. Yeah. I also told you I was going to tell you what a licensed minister is. I've explained what an ordained minister is. A licensed minister is someone who takes only the first phase, only the True Discernment course. They don't complete it for one reason, or they haven't completed it yet, maybe. Maybe they're still taking the last part of the 18 months. And they're on the member board of trustees or the board of directors. This person can be a licensed minister. Now, a licensed minister is not a fully legal minister. A licensed minister cannot, for example, marry people. A licensed minister would not be recognized by the law. But the licensed minister can serve within Awakening Together in some ways. For example, a licensed minister can be a substitute leader of a gathering. If the ordained minister is not available, like today, Dove did not feel that he was able to lead the gathering. If we had had a licensed minister could have substituted for him. And in fact, we're going to have licensed ministers very soon. The member board of trustees and the board of directors are nearly complete with phase one. They'll complete it after the first week of November. Then we will have licensed ministers. And Lynn is going to substitute for me on a Sunday morning while I am in India. So licensed ministers can do some things within the organization that normally ordained ministers do, but they do not have the full legal rights of the law. So that's the difference between a licensed minister and an ordained minister. So those are the three policies that we have right now that are done. We're working on additional policies. We're working on a speaker's policy, which is for speakers here in the online gathering room, which really just fits with the online gathering room policy, but it's from the speaker point of view. Yesterday, the treasurer sent to me it's a financial policy about how we capitalize our assets or whatever. I haven't even read it yet, but we'll look at that policy, and that's another policy that will be voted in because we also need financial policies. We're going to have a governance policy that just goes into a little more detail about how the organization is governed. So, and there'll be many, many more policies. So you'll hear me, you know, talking about new policies that we've written and approved probably for at least a year before we're done with them all. So, we know what the rules are, and everybody follows the same set of guidelines, and it's not based on a personality. Nor, even more, is it based on a personality's moods. Today, this is good. Today, this is not good, right? We don't have anything like that. We have consistency. Teddy says, is there a policy on how new policies become policy? The answer is yes. That's the Constitution, which I introduced first. It's also mentioned in the bylaws, maybe. I don't remember. But it's definitely in the Constitution. So there is a policy on how new policies become policy. There is also a policy on how to change a policy. That's in the Constitution. That's why that had to be developed first. let's see. Paul has written, pastors are allowed to deduct any expenses that they may incur while fulfilling their duties, including work-related travel, seminary attendance costs, religious publication subscriptions, and we haven't got into looking at that stuff yet. I know that there are different laws that govern minister benefits, even tax privileges. We haven't looked at that yet. I'm sure at some point we will, but you can only do so many things at a time. So that's still to come. So that's it for what's happening with the policies right now. So do I have any info at present about the speaker's policy? It's still in discussion. So because it's still in discussion, I don't, because then I would only be presenting my opinion, and we don't operate based on my opinion. So we'll have to wait until it's through discussion before anything is shared. So let's see. Lord Blue, I have a general question. Please tell me when it is the right time to ask it. Well, now's good with me. Let me take a drink of my tea while you ask your question. Have you ever received a specific message from the Holy Spirit about awakening together? If yes, what was the content of that message? If not, then how come you did not receive any specific message about awakening together? Well, the first answer would be, the way that I receive my prompts has changed, Lord Blue. During the time that I was writing the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, the messages of Regina and Laurent, the teachings of Inner Ramana, I used to hear an inner voice in a very clear conversational way that really guided me in a way that scribes are often guided, and sometimes other people don't experience that. At the end of the teachings of Inner Ramana, when I was asked to move from that phase into another phase called abiding, that way of receiving guidance dropped away. So now I receive guidance through intuitive prompts, just like the average person. And I very seldom, in fact, I never say Holy Spirit told me anymore. I never do. You won't catch those words coming out of my mouth. Holy Spirit told me. I don't do that because I don't hear it in that way. And I very seldom even say it's my guidance. I'll say I feel, I felt a prompt for, et cetera, et cetera. However, I will tell you that what I felt a prompt for first was to, I believe the prompt that came first was to begin serving better. And then what came was the prompt for a church. And then when I accepted that, which there was a huge amount of resistance to that, when I accepted that, what came was the purpose, what we now have, the Awakening Together purpose, that was just written in the second. It just came. And then the next day, I believe it was, the five core values came, which were edited slightly by the board of directors, but the basic idea of the core values did not change at all, only some of the words. That's my answer, and I'm sticking to it. I would say, you know, somebody, I think it was Paul last week that said, you know, something about, Paul, you may have to help me with this. You're still here, aren't you? Something about the fruit. You can judge the tree by the fruit it produces, I believe is what you said, that comes from the Bible. And I said, perfect, Paul. I think that is absolutely perfect. If awakening together is coming from the source that I feel in my heart it is coming to. Yes, that's from Matthew. Thank you. If awakening together is coming from the source that I feel in my heart it is coming from, we will see that. As we follow this, this path and build awakening together and have awakening together, the fruit will be good, and we will see that. We will see the people coming. We'll see the way that we are all being transformed by it. We'll see how, you know, we'll just see it. And if it is not coming from that source, and if I'm completely wrong, and this is just my ego, and I'm trying to drag you guys along with me, I think that will come out too. So I think the real answer is for everyone to follow their own heart, and then let's watch and see. So are you saying that there is also a possibility that awakening together is not from Holy Spirit? I don't think so, no. But I'm saying you can be your own judge. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and continue with the meeting now. Another thing that we did, yeah, wait a bit and see, Lord. Here we are asking the Lord to wait and see. Another thing that we did when we were in Canyon City a couple of weeks ago, both, oh, sorry, Wayne, I apologize. I wasn't looking at the screen. I see you have your hand up. Please take the mic. Danielle, are you up?
Thank you. It would be a second. I just say my typing skills are not very, very good, and it would come out sloppy and with typos all over the place. I just want to clarify one thing, because on the night shift, very often I do the nature of the course and how I is obviously healing, and I talk I very often. So somebody has a bad day or something, and I give out advice. And I am a coach. I am a licensed coach. I am an ordained minister, but not with, of course, with your organization. Is that something that I can, and especially the night shift, because I attend the admin at night, and I've shaped the evenings to be the resurrection shift, to have sort of certain energy, a certain style that is in keeping with awakening together. And with a certain healing energy, a playful, peaceful kind of energy, is that okay? Or am I, you know, should I take the minister's class here? Or I just want to make sure that I'm not, you know, setting up a lawsuit or something. So I just want to clarify that I guess that's all. Okay. Here's the mic.
Yeah. Dang good question. And notice I didn't swear. Dang good question. Of course, you're not even in the United States of America, right? But again, like I said, in some states in America, you can be sued by the person you are coaching. If in their opinion, you know, you took them into a worse place, you can be sued if you were coaching without a license. And an ordination is considered a license. Oh, you are in New York. So, you know, that could be just, you know, not legal, to be honest. I don't know why I thought you were in Europe. I did. So that could be just not legal. You know, I don't know the answer to that. I'd have to see what you mean by, coaching. You know, typically coaching is something that happens in a one-on-one private basis. You know, where a person calls you on the phone, and typically coaching is not things like asking for, you know, what's your interpretation of what this paragraph means in the course or anything like that. Typically coaching gets into more personal things, you know, more personal things like, you know, I live with an abusive husband. You know, should I stay or should I go? I'm about to lose my house to, foreclosure. You know, what should I do? Should I just watch that and do nothing, or should I take action? This is the type of coaching that the law is really concerned about. It's where spirituality crosses lines with the world. So when you are teaching people, you know, if you're teaching, here's what A Course in Miracles means, and here's how we all let go of thoughts, and, you know, and it's very general, although somebody could call that coaching, that is not coaching by the law. But when you start getting into giving people particular advice, that type of coaching is governed by the law. And really, only an ordained minister should be doing that. And again, that's not just awakening together, that's law. And in fact, one of the reasons that I think, but you are ordained, I see what you're saying. You know, I don't have a real answer for you, Wayne. I wish I had an answer for everything. But I don't. I'm not the type of person, even though we are making policies, I am not the type of person ever that's going to try to go out there and watchdog every individual and say, you can do this, you can't do that. I would drive myself insane if I tried to do that. What I'm really trying to do, if anything, is teach people to learn their own true discernment and follow their own heart and know within themselves what they are to do and what they are not to do. That's the best answer I can give you. I see Lynn wants to say something, so I'm going to turn the mic over to Lynn.
Thank you, Regina. I think Wayne, what I just heard actually is, what is our purpose? And, you know, our purpose here is not to be guidance coaches for people or to help them solve marital disputes or, you know, our purpose here is to share our Holy Spirit selves, to share our true discernment. Our purpose here is to be helpful, and we don't advertise, you know, come over here and we'll help you solve your problems. We're here to represent the Christ. And so if that is the only purpose that you have, which I know it is, you know, we can't know what people are going to take from what we share here. But, you know, if I had been, for instance, listening to Regina, and Regina was talking about, what was it we were hearing the other day? You know, just, you know, drop it if it's not good for you, don't do it. You know, if, like, she quit her job and left the state and went to do other things, listen to the Holy Spirit. If we were listening to that and saying, oh, well, Regina's telling me that I should quit my job and go off you know, move to another state or leave my family, you can't take responsibility for another person taking what you said to be guidance for them. And so, you know, and I know that you don't counsel people or tell people how to live their lives or what to do. You know, you just share from your heart, and we all share from our heart, and we are all here just to be helpful. And so, you know, I don't think that there's a conflict. That's just what I'm trying to say, is I don't think there's a conflict. Anyway, I'm going to give the mic back to Regina.
Yeah, I will tell you that what I envisioned is that as we get ordained ministers, what we will do is we will, you know, put on the website, we have a place where we list our ministers, and any ministers that want to be available, you know, to coach people, to take phone calls and coach people one-on-one, if that's their service, that will be listed on our website. In order to be listed on our website as an Awakening Together minister that is willing to take phone calls and help people one-on-one, you have to be an Awakening Together minister. So, but like I said, I really don't want to go managing people's lives. That's, you know, that's not my purpose. If you're aware of the law and you're within the law, that's great. If you're aware of the law and you're not within the law, well, remember what Beretta said. Don't do the crime if you can't do the time. It's up to you, I guess. If you have the time or you don't mind being sued, if somebody's not an ordained minister and you want to coach, go ahead. But if you'd rather not, then don't get involved in that. So, but yeah, Awakening Together ordained ministers that want to coach will be listed on the website as available for that service at some point. Right now, we don't have enough to make that happen, but that's a vision for the future. But in that case, you'd have to be an Awakening Together minister. So hopefully that answers the question. All right, so moving on. We're not even going to get through everything I have here in this hour. That's too bad. We only have 12 minutes left, and we're running out of time, but that's all right. While we were here in Colorado, the Member Board of Trustees and the Board of Directors, we approved two philosophies that will govern our decisions. Thank you, Lynn, for giving me permission to go over. One philosophy is our growth philosophy, and the other one is our financial philosophy. And one reason for creating these philosophies is this is where sometimes egos really get involved in any organization. Even though the organization started with a humble intent an inspired purpose, when they start thinking about we want to grow, we want to get more members, or we want to get more money, the ego gets involved. So we created philosophies after a lot of discussion that we agreed to, that we will now follow. The first one is our growth philosophy, which means what is our governing philosophy about how to grow the organization. And Lynn has posted that in the room. Our growth philosophy is this: to allow growth through surrender rather than promotion, without attachment to any particular form, outcome, or expression. We welcome friends to the community by being the loving invitation to remember the one true self. So what this really means to me is, you know, as we feel prompts, guidance to do particular things, to add this to the organization, to change this in the organization, you know, and we will follow those prompts and we will do that. But we're not going to get attached to, did this attract more people? You know, did this, you know, result in additional growth? And right now this is the growth philosophy. We do have a financial philosophy, but we're not going to be out there looking for results. And of course, you know, this is the spiritual way to be. The spiritual way to be is to do what you feel prompted to do without being attached to the outcome. And so that's the philosophy we're adopting. We're not going to be concerned about growth. We're just going to do what we feel guided to do. And if the organization grows, great. If it doesn't, great. We're going to stay in touch with following. Also, the second part of that was we welcome friends to the community by being the loving invitation to remember the one true self. Our role is to be the loving invitation. In other words, we need to be accepting the atonement for ourselves. And as we be that, then maybe that will attract others. Maybe that won't. We won't be concerned about that. But our job is to be that loving invitation and then just let what happens happen. Now, we do also have a financial philosophy. Our financial philosophy is this: the Awakening Together mission and core values guide stewardship of all resources, which must serve the whole over any individual. We acknowledge all giving comes from the hearts of our members and friends. In order to aid their decision making, we commit to transparency regarding our finances. So first of all, it says that the mission of Awakening Together and the core values will guide how we spend money. And you all have been aware of the purpose. I'm not sure you're as aware of the mission. We haven't talked about the mission as much. And one reason is the purpose is new. The mission is only slightly new. The mission is really, to some degree, the same mission Foundation for Holy Spirit has always had. And it's just only changed slightly as Foundation for Holy Spirit has become Awakening Together. So here's the mission. And in fact, the mission even still begins with the Foundation for the Holy Spirit, which is, by the way, still our legal name. So the Foundation for the Holy Spirit is committed to helping individuals become self-reliant with inner wisdom by providing a ministry which consists of spiritual teaching, counseling, internet programs and worship services, worldwide like-minded fellowship, and other sources and services beneficial to that mission. So all spending needs to fall under this mission. If it doesn't fall under the mission, the primary purpose of helping people to become self-reliant with their inner spiritual wisdom, then we shouldn't be spending in that way. So that is our purpose, is to help people become self-reliant. And that will guide all decisions as we begin to decide where do we spend, how do we spend, right? Let's see. Also, our philosophy says, in addition to our spending being in accordance with our mission and core values, and the core values I think you all are familiar with, it also says that our spending must serve the whole over any individual. So the president, for example, is not to be getting all kinds of benefits, you know, a car and a hot tub and, you know, another car and, you know, all this stuff. while other people are donating. And now a bigger house, other people are donating. Oh, how about some jewelry? And other people are donating. You know, we all know how that happens. There was recently a documentary about, they call it the Ministers of California or something about that, about how rich a lot of these ministers in California are getting on the donations of their congregations. That's not going to happen here. That's against our philosophy. But also, we're hoping that when we have enough money that we'll be able to have a scholarship program, and the scholarships won't always go to the same people year in and year out, year in and year out. One thing we want to do is we want to make sure that that the way we spend our money is benefiting the whole and no particular individual or small set of individuals. That is our philosophy. So, and then in addition to that, we acknowledge all giving comes from the hearts of our members and friends. This means you will never in any way be coerced. Yeah, unless we get a hot tub for everybody, Ron. If we have enough money for hot tubs for everybody, then I don't think that fits with our mission. Unless we start meditating in our hot tubs to become self-reliant. But as I was saying, we acknowledge all giving comes from the hearts of our members and friends. That means you will never be coerced to give, ever. You're never going to be told that you have to make a monthly donation to be a member. You're never going to be told that you have to make a donation in order to be forgiven of your sins or in order to attract good to you. You know, it's just not going to happen that way. We understand that we do need money. You know, as Paul said, it takes dollars to run an organization. But we trust that you will be prompted from within to give whatever we need. You know, and so we're just going to trust that, and we're never going to coerce you. But what we will do in order to help you is we will be completely transparent. We are going to begin posting quarterly financial reports on our member website when that is up. Hopefully that will be in January. And we will also put an annual report on our public website, so you'll be able to see what we're doing with the money. Tithing will always be a personal choice. We do have at least a couple of people who feel that they tithe to us, and tithing is great if that's in your heart, but it will never be, as they say, preached from the pulpit that you should tithe. There should never be any coercion about giving. All giving should come from you because you feel to give. But we will provide the financial reports so that you'll know how the money is being spent. So that's our growth philosophy and our financial philosophy. And those will go in our governance policy, which is one of the policies we're currently working on. All right, so moving on then, unless anybody has questions about our two philosophies. Is this giving you a better idea of what's happening on the governance level of Awakening Together, a little behind-the-scenes stuff? That's kind of what I wanted to share, yeah. You know what we're doing all the time here and what our philosophies are and how we're thinking and the type of organization we are trying to build. Yeah. Okay, so next, let's move on to that stuff. I'm glad you guys were interested, but that was the boring business stuff. Let's move into something a little more fun. The retreats. I think the retreats are a fun part of what we do. And another thing that we have been working on are some retreats. And I haven't had the time yet to put these retreats up on the website, but I do want to get them up on the website, hopefully before I go to India. But we have two retreats that are scheduled next September. The first one I'm calling the Awakening Together Satsang Retreat. That's not a formal name. That's just my working name. The Awakening Together Satsang Retreat. That will be in Santa Barbara. Next September, 12 to 14, which is a typical Friday evening to Sunday lunch retreat. One of the speakers that has agreed to come is Timothy Conway. He will do two satsangs for us, one on Saturday afternoon and one on Sunday morning. And there's a couple ways you can become familiar with Timothy Conway. One is to go check out his website. His website is enlightened-spirituality.org, and you can check out his bio, Timothy Conway. He's one of these people who had a dramatic awakening experience at a very young age, like 16, similar to Robert Adams, for example. Also, if you go to bat.com, batgap.com, B-A-T-G-A-P, batgap.com. That's actually, bat stands for Buddha at the, and then gap, I think, gas pump, the G-A for gas. Batgap.com is Buddha at the gas pump, which many of you are familiar with. Rick Archer, who is a member of Awakening Together, by the way, Rick Archer interviewed Timothy Conway. And so you can go there and watch that video if you want to, and you'll get to know him there. The second speaker who has agreed to come to our satsang retreat next September is Magdi Embe. Magdi Embe, as far as I can tell, does not have his own website. He does post every day in Facebook. And so if you friend him on Facebook, you can see the clarity that he posts. But he also has taught here. And he's one of our featured talks on the Awakening Together website. So you can go to awakeningtogether.org, click on teachings, and then click on featured talks, and then scroll down till you find Magdi Embe. That's M-A-G-D-I-E-M-B-E, Magdi Embe. And then you can listen to his talk if you want to get to know him. And he does show up here in the room every now and then. And like I said, you can also get to know him well on Facebook. And then Kirtana, which is the person I shared her song just at the beginning of this period of time. I also shared her song this morning. I'll be sharing more of her songs as we go through the year. Kirtana is going to be our musician. You can also go to her website, kirtana.com. You can also go to YouTube and search for Kirtana. Fabulous musician. Yeah, I'm really, really excited about her. So Timothy Conway, Magdi Embe, and Kirtana, they will be there for our retreat September 12 to 14, 2014 in Santa Barbara. Now, what I do have are the costs. Even though I don't have the website up yet or the webpage up yet, I do have the costs if you're interested. The cost includes two nights room, Friday and Saturday night, and all meals from Friday night's dinner to Sunday lunch, breakfast, lunch, and dinner on Saturday. If you're going to share a room, it will be $395 per person. If you want a single room, it will be $595 per person. And if you want to stay elsewhere, like in a hotel nearby and just come during the day rate still includes all meals, and that's $295 per person. So we have three pricing options for that weekend. Again, a shared room is $395, a private room is $595, and day pass is $295. That retreat ends with lunch on Sunday, September 14th. Starting at dinner on September 14th, we're going to have a second retreat, which I'm calling Soak in the Beauty, because that's kind of what inspired me to have this retreat, was being in Santa Barbara and soaking in the money. Oh, Barb says it's a bit more expensive than it was in May. Well, let me explain that. First of all, I didn't get paid hardly anything in May. And Larry, who joined me, got paid even less. We got very, very little pay. And the only two people that had to fly in were Larry and I. You know, Teddy just drove up. Cheryl just drove up. With the retreat next September, we are going to pay the speakers. It's reasonable pay. But they are going to be paid, and we have to fly more people in. So more expenses results in more cost. So that's the answer to that question. But I think it's worth it. And I think if you look at spiritual retreats and the cost, I think you'll find these costs are very low, comparatively speaking. It's always my purpose to keep things affordable. So, and Laura Blue says, real ACIM teachers will find the way. Hey, Lord, these guys do not teach A Course in Miracles. Just to let you know. they teach from their own clarity. They're not teaching from a book, any book. All right, so the Soak in the Beauty retreat, as I mentioned, begins with dinner on September 14th and runs through September 18th. So Sunday night to Thursday breakfast. This retreat is a little different. I expect it to be a little smaller. I expect the weekend to be bigger, but maybe I'll be wrong. I expect this to be a smaller group of people. We will be in silence every morning all the way through lunch. And I'll tell you what, the Santa Barbara Mission where we're staying is absolutely gorgeous. It's a wonderful place to literally soak in the beauty, to be silent, to wander around, right? So we'll be silent each morning through lunch. And then after lunch, I have contracted with a local bus company. They are going to come to the mission and pick us up on a bus, and they will take us to places of beauty in the local area. On the first day, Monday, we will go to the Santa Barbara Botanical Gardens. On the second day, Tuesday, we will go to the beaches. And I am still selecting a location for the third day. That hasn't been decided yet. Also, Timothy Conway, who happens to live in Santa Barbara, will come back either Monday or Wednesday evening and have another satsang with us. And then on all of the other evenings, Sunday evening, and I'll say Monday and Tuesday, assuming Timothy comes on Wednesday, those other three evenings, we will have discussions. I will play films probably on some nights with a teaching in the film, and then we will discuss them. Some nights it will just be me. We'll be able to talk with me. So that's the format. It will be silence in the morning, local touring places of beauty. And by the way, we won't be in silence after lunch. So while we're touring, we can walk and talk and be together in that way. So silence in the morning, touring in the afternoon, and then spiritual discussion or satsang in the evening. The cost is still being determined. Because I need to know where we're going on that third day. I need to know what the entrance fee is. So until I have that third day figured out, I won't have the cost. So the cost is still being determined, but the cost will include all four nights room, meals from Sunday dinner all the way through Thursday breakfast. It will include, of course, the cost of the bus, and it will include admission to any sites we visit, and it will include the cost of an additional Timothy Conway satsang, but it will not include gratuity for our bus driver. So everyone will be able to tip the bus driver as you feel to tip the bus driver, which is typical on a tour. Estimated, now this is a little higher, but there's more involved. You know, we're renting buses and stuff. and it's more nights and more meals, right? So it's more, getting more for your money. Estimated share, probably if you're going to share a room, it'll be between $650 and $700 for everything included except for the bus driver's tip. If you want a single, it's probably going to be somewhere between $785 and $840. And like I said, I'll be able to pin those down once I know where we're going on that third day. And hopefully I'll get that done very soon. So those are the two retreats that are scheduled. I'm also hoping to sponsor Choose Again here in the United States this coming May. Right now, the retreat center here in Canyon City is holding May 3 to May 10. The board of directors has approved this retreat. I'm just waiting for Diedrich to say yes. In fact, I probably need to email him again tomorrow and say, hey, Diedrich, where's your yes? That's all I'm waiting for. Once Diedrich says yes, I'm ready to sign the contracts with the conference center and go. Now, this will be May 3 to May 10. That's a Saturday to Saturday, 2014. This will have seven nights room and all meals from dinner on Saturday, May 3rd to breakfast on Saturday, May 10th, and the full Choose Again experience. Now, I don't know if Nikki's here. That's what my text was about earlier, that she may not be here. Oh, she is here. First of all, Nikki, I heard that tomorrow is your birthday, and that's why you might not be here. You might be celebrating with your family, so happy birthday. And Nikki, I'm going to turn the mic over to you. And for anyone who doesn't know what the Choose Again experience is, which, by the way, everyone, usually you have to go to Costa Rica to have this experience. They don't usually come to the United States, which is why this is very special if it does happen. It's a special opportunity to not have to go so far for the experience. Nikki, I'm going to turn the mic over to you, and why don't you share a little bit about the Choose Again experience?
Hear me okay? Great, thank you. That's funny that the message that I sent you isn't about tonight, it's about tomorrow night. I had to choose between being here tonight and or tomorrow night. I needed to be present at my birthday tonight or tomorrow night. So, yeah. When you said that, I'm like, really? I sent you a text? That's funny. You know, one thing that's really interesting to me is my family and I, or my husband and I, were having a conversation this morning about Choose Again, and the best way to describe it is that Choose Again really has my heart. You know, it really just has my heart. And the best way to describe that is it has completely altered everyone in my family, completely altered our lifestyle, the way that we experience things today. And to make this short, I wanted to say, you know, I'm already off Prozac. Woohoo! Well, I guess for me, it's not really about that. I would love to take everybody for a couple of months to Costa Rica so that they could experience the ultimate or the true Choose Again experience. It's so beautiful and it's so incredible, but I think it's an incredible opportunity for us to have that packed in 1 week. They do something like this and Choose Again. It's called at Nosara, and they pack it in at 1 week as well. It is completely staying focused on one's beliefs and concepts, and I'm not actually sure, Deb, about Choose Again in Colorado. I only know about Choose Again in Costa Rica, but it's one thing to go to listen to, for me, it's one thing to go to listen to ACIM teachers, and it's one thing to go to retreats and get some ahas. But to me, the opportunity is about, you know, where the rubber meets the road, to really expose our deepest beliefs and to really go in and question those and to learn tools to do so that it's when I go back home, when I leave the retreat, I still have these tools to do just that. And, you know, that even for me, I was thinking about the different levels of my husband had 10 years of recovery from alcohol. So he had been working the 12 steps, but he was really experiencing some depression and anxiety. And if anybody was to ask me who would benefit for a week with Diedrich and Claudette from Choose Again, I would really say anyone that still experiences discomfort, agitation, or upset to any degree. It benefited everybody that I watched walk through the door. So that's what I have so far, but my husband and I were discussing taking an hour slot on Pal Talk and really sharing how it did alter our lives and what we do today. So thanks for letting me share, Regina. I really am honored to share about it. Thanks.
Thank you, Nikki. Yeah, the Choose Again has a wonderful reputation of, you know, helping people see and let go of false beliefs that were really driving painful behaviors or painful experiences. And as I mentioned, usually, you know, you have to go all the way down to Costa Rica to experience them, but I've asked them to come to Colorado this coming September, and just waiting for Diedrich's yes. I know Claudette is on board, so we're just waiting for Diedrich. The conference center is on board. Everybody's on board. So as I mentioned, it includes 7 nights room, all meals from dinner on the first Saturday through breakfast on the last Saturday, and the entire Choose Again experience, what they do in circle, the breathing exercises they do, the yoga they do, and everything else they do to be helpful. The proposed cost right now is, if you're going to share a room for the week, it would be $940. If you want a single room for the week, it would be $1,025. Again, that includes the room, the meals, and the experience for the entire week. And then I have a limited number of rooms for couples, And, you know, that would be included. There may only be a couple of rooms available for couples. That's just all that the center has, rooms with double beds or queen beds. But I will have a different price for those as well. So we'll let you know if Diedrich says yes. And, yes, it's going to be at the Abbey in the Headley Dorm, for those of you who have been there. So that was an awful lot of stuff. But it was the very first member meeting. You know, we've been working for months and we've never had a member meeting. Hopefully with all of the other member meetings, since they're going to be happening every month, there won't be quite as much to update you on. But I'll always update you on what's been happening in the last month. The best way to stay informed, by the way, in addition to coming to the member meetings, is to go ahead and subscribe to all blogs at the Awakening Together website. Now, even though it says subscribe to all blogs, you only get one daily email. But what it will do is it will just have, you know, have headings there, and anything that you're interested in, you could click on. So I will start really updating the Awakening Together news on a regular basis. So as a new retreat is going up, I will post it and say, hey, it's up now, you can register. As a new policy is approved, I'll post it. Here's the new policy that was approved. And I'm going to be posting to that Awakening Together news. So if you don't want to miss anything, go ahead and subscribe to all blogs, and then you'll get that Awakening Together news in your email as I post things. And that will keep you really informed. Right now, we have 174 members, at least Friday when I checked, 174 members, but only 69 people are subscribed to our blogs. So there's a lot of people that aren't yet taking advantage of that opportunity to stay informed. You can click on subscribe to our blogs by going to Awakening Together website, join us. Join us and subscribe to our blogs. You can also join us and become a member if you're not a member yet. Now, I mentioned that we only have 69 people subscribed to Awakening Together. ReginaDonAkers.com has 543 subscriptions right now. So the most important information I also post there, because more people will see it. But I'm not going to be posting all the details, like here's a new policy that we've approved. If you're counting on the Regina Don Akers blog to keep you informed, it will keep you informed of the big things like the retreats, but there's lots of other details that a member may be interested in that I won't be posting on Regina Don Akers. So even if you subscribe to Regina Don Akers, it's worth it possibly to go subscribe to all blogs on Awakening Together too, if you're an interested member. The last thing I want to talk about, and then I'm going to go. I've been sitting here for so long. The last thing I want to talk about is a charter member. There's something called a charter member. And if you read the Constitution, you may notice charter members may be mentioned in the Constitution. A charter member is anyone who joins Awakening Together in the first 3 months. And the first day that we opened for membership was July 21st. So October 21 is the day that the opportunity to be a charter member closes. The advantage to being a charter member is when you get into reading our Constitution, you'll notice there's some things like, in order to be on the member board of trustees, in order to be on the member board of... I see Paul's asking if Dove would share. I can ask Dove if he would share the mail with his mailing list. I don't know. Well, I'll talk to him about that, Paul. If I remember, if I forget, please prompt me. I don't always remember details. Or Lynn or somebody prompt me to ask Dove if he wants to forward emails that I post on the Awakening Together list to his email list, which is very comprehensive. We'll see what he says about that. Sometimes if people get too much mail they're not interested in, though, they unsubscribe from a list. So it's usually best to say, if you're interested in this topic, come to this list, rather than taking all of that information and sending it out to a bunch of people who might not care. But I'll talk to Dove and see how he feels. Okay, back to the charter members. If you read our Constitution, you'll say that in order to be elected to the member board of trustees, you need to have been a member in good standing for 2 years. And after, you know, that's going to be true. So, you know, most people will have to be a member for 2 years before they can be nominated onto the member board of trustees. But there's an exception. And the exception is if you're a charter member. Charter members do not have to be members for 2 years before they're voted onto the member board of trustees. So there's a little extra benefit to being a charter member. And the only way to be a charter member is to join by October 21, before October 21. Any of you who are already members are already charter members. But if you are not already a member and you'd like to get in and be a charter member so that you don't have to wait 2 years to possibly be elected onto the member board of trustees, I recommend that you go ahead and become a member very soon, because October 21 is not that far away, and you know how fast time flies. It's about 2 weeks away. So, again, just go to awakeningtogether.org, click on the Join Us menu, and then choose Become a Member. And if you agree to our purpose and core values in your heart, go ahead and join up, and you will be a charter member. So, all right. So that, I think, is the conclusion of our very first and hopefully longest member meeting. There will be a member meeting, as I mentioned, the first Sunday of every month. And what I'll do, I won't be here next Sunday, the first Sunday of November, because I'll be on my way to India. But I will ask someone else on the member board of trustees to lead the meeting so that you can still have a meeting. So we'll get someone to do that. And they'll update you on everything that's happened in the last month, and we'll just keep doing this monthly. So that's it for me now. Thank you very much, everyone. I can't believe anybody would want to sit and listen to me talk that long. I know my daughter wouldn't. No way she put up with me for that long. So y'all are wonderful. And I'll see you for prayer circle. We have a lot of prayer requests, much more than normal. So I'll see you for prayer circle at 8:30 a.m. Eastern time on Tuesday morning. I'll also be here for contemplation tomorrow night. All right, that's it. Everyone, happy Sunday. Bye-bye.